Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
Hello and welcome to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. On today's show, we recap the Fort McMurray oil barren season that came to an end over the weekend. We also chat with the Wood Buffalo RCMP on scam awareness. Joining me on the phone here today is the one, the only, Fort McMurray Oil Barons broadcaster, Matthew Decker. Dex, how are we doing here today?
I'm all right. It's a day kind of processing everything through now that the season is officially over for the Oil Barons, and to say it was a roller coaster of a year would be an understatement.
We'll get into that in just a second, but again, tough finish to the season Sunday night with the 3-2 overtime loss at home to Canmore. How'd you see that game?
My goodness, did we ever have a showcase for goaltenders last night? You could have done a highlight pack alone on some of the amazing saves from both Gage Stewart as well as Matthew Mallon. It was an exciting game. Both teams were not afraid to attack each other. Unfortunately for Fort McMurray, it was just an unfortunate bounce right at the end. It went off the skate of a defenseman past Stewart. That was the overtime winner, and it's a bit of a sudden way to the end of the season for Fort McMurray.
Yeah, getting outscored 9-1 in the first two games of a series is never good, but is it fair to say that the Barons are pretty happy with this group's ability to fight back in Game 3 at home?
I would say so. I mean, they gave up the first goal yet again in Game 3 here, and that seems to be a trend that we saw a lot throughout the regular season. But the second period was by far the best period they've had in the postseason. All got started with Carter Schmidt and Liam Cox-Smith, a shorthanded goal, and it was a beauty. It looked like Liam Cox-Smith was going to get the goal, but he was absolutely robbed by Matthew Mallon. And then Schmidt, as he's going in behind the net, reaches back with his left hand and the stick to just poke the puck over top of the line, and then a beautiful setup play from Dimitri DeFleurio to find Jackson Brittle to give the Oil Barons what was their only lead of the series. They fought well. Stewart made save after save. Unfortunately, Canmore just found a way to tie things up with a power play goal late in the third period, and then, of course, there's the overtime winner from Kaden Raji that bounced off a defenseman. But no, it's a lot better of an effort. It was their best effort of the postseason in Game 3. It's something that they can hang their hats on. They can hold their heads high because they left everything out on the ice. It just wasn't enough for the Oil Barons.
It had to be good to get back to the postseason for this group, wasn't it?
I would say so. I mean, they were in the postseason last year as well. That one went seven games before they fell to the Sherman Park Crusaders. And here it's just with everything they went through and with everything the league went through, it was good to see some playoff hockey. Unfortunately, it was just the one game for Fort McMurray. Hopefully, maybe down the road, we'll see a bit of a longer run with this team. But hey, it's playoff hockey. It's the best time of the year is when you're in the postseason. And I'm sure everybody enjoys seeing that.
Your first season following the team, Matt, how do you feel it went?
I mean, call-wise, I'm very happy with how the season went. It was great getting to know the players, getting to know some of the families and this fan base. Nothing like what I've seen is the best way I can compare these fans. It's the best fan base I've ever seen in Canada. Closest I can compare it to would be the Bombers up in Flin Flon, but no. These fans are passionate. They love their team. It was really fun to see basically a full building night in and night out. It was a lot of fun. Definitely had its challenges. Second half of the year, January on, is really the toughest. It's really the toughest stretch I've ever had to deal with as a professional, as a broadcaster. So there's definitely a lot of stuff to learn from that personally. But overall, I'm happy with how the season went, and really, really thrilled to have a role to play with this organization.
You've covered hockey in Saskatchewan for a few years before making the move to Fort McMurray. What would you say were some of the key differences that you saw in Saskatchewan versus what you've seen here?
Well, here in the AJHL, I find there's a lot more speed and there's a lot more skill. You definitely need to do an adjustment to stay on top of the play there. Saskatchewan, a lot more of a physical element of the game, but it's both are very exciting. Both are fun to be a part of. Junior hockey is, I find, is always more enjoyable because you never know what the kids are going to end up doing. Are they comparable? In some ways, sure. But no, definitely the skill level in Alberta, it was the biggest thing that really stood out to me.
We mentioned it a little earlier on, but this season had no shortage of storylines. With the coaching change in January to the five teams leaving the league, that had to be pretty unique to see in just your first season, the AJHL.
I feel like this year you could write a book about it and then have the entire trilogy series on it, the way that this season went. Yeah, never seen anything like this outside of the COVID shortened season. Unprecedented is the best way to really put it. First off, yeah, the coaching change. That's the first time I've gone through anything like that, and that wasn't an easy thing to deal with, especially for a great human being and Adam Anna being on the way out. Oil Barons, I feel like they felt that a whole lot too. They only went 4-14-1 after the coaching change, so there's definitely going to be some evaluations taking place this off season and the direction that the team is going to go in. And then, as you mentioned, the AJHL, five teams leaving. Never have I seen that before. I mean, I've heard stories of teams folding halfway through a season, but not five teams bailing on the league to join another league midway through the year. That was unprecedented. Kudos to the league. I know they take a lot of heat for the way they handled it, but they adjusted on the fly. They found a way that they felt was fair for the remaining 11 members of the league. They're looking towards expansion and regrowing this league again through the off season. It's been a very unprecedented year. A lot happened this season, which junior hockey league players wouldn't see during their entire career. So, challenging in that aspect, and definitely provided a lot of key talking points throughout the year.
Overall, though, do you feel the coaching change, you know, helped the team in the long run? I know there's only four wins in their last 17 games, but again, a lot of new pieces in place, obviously sold at the deadline. Looking forward, do you think that coaching change helps?
That's a hard one to evaluate at this point. And I know it's going to be very much a lot of decisions from Joey Bouchard. Were there some interesting changes for the team? Yeah, absolutely. A mindset definitely switched for them. They found a little more of their offensive legs towards the end of the year. But at the same time, the one number that fans in particular are going to look at are the wins. And a team that was at 13 wins, 20 losses before the coaching change, only mustered another four the rest of the way. And unfortunately, it wasn't like they were close losses either. They were blowout losses, 7-0, 9-4, stuff like that. I feel like that might play a bit of a role in the decision of what's going to happen with this coaching staff, whether Joey finds a new coach or if he takes over both GM and the head coaching positions, if he keeps Carter on as maybe an assistant coach. Who knows? There's a lot of decisions this team needs to make in the offseason. The other part of that is how many of the players who are eligible to return, how many of them are the Oil Barons able to retain, and how many players are maybe even looking at the BCHL and going, do we want to go there for next season instead of sticking around? That's a huge question I feel like this organization needs to face as well. It's a lot of things are up in the air right now. It's very hard to determine what direction this team is going to go in. You could take 10 different guesses, and each of them could be wrong. So that will be the big thing, is definitely keeping the eye on the organization over the next couple of months and seeing what they feel like is the best direction for this team.
We continue our chat with Matt Decker from the Fort McMurray Oil Barons on Fort McMurray Matters next.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Matt Decker from the Fort McMurray Oil Barons joins us once again on the phone. Did I hear you right earlier that the AJHL's potentially looking to add teams again after those five teams left?
You're correct on that one, and the reason I know this is actually my interview with Commissioner of the AJHL, Ryan Bartoszek. We did that during the playoffs, and he admitted that there are a number of communities in Alberta who have submitted an expansion. The league is looking at expanding. He didn't say how many teams. I've heard rumors it'd be one. It could be maybe all five again, but there is the league is looking at trying to recoup their losses and bring in a few more communities into the AJHL. And you can let the rumors kind of fly of who would be in for those. Could be a couple Edmonton area teams, could be a couple of Calgary area teams. Who knows here? But yes, the league is looking at expanding and growing this to at least a 12-member league, if not back to 16.
How do you feel about this team heading into next season? I know there's, again, a ton of moving pieces between now and then, but, you know, in a general sense, how do you feel?
Well, it's going to come down to who they're able to keep. Starting in the goal, like, does Noah Nelson stay and become the starter for the next 2 years in Fort McMurray? That is a bit of a question mark going into the offseason. I know the second half of the year didn't go the way that Noah wanted, but he has been viewed, generally at least by this team, as the goalie of the future. And when he was forced into extended starts at the first half of the season, he showed that he can really be a goaltender that the Oil Barons can lean on. So we'll see if they're able to continue on with that. You also are curious to see who they bring back up front. If they can get Carter Schmidt and Simon Gall back, two O4s who led the team in points, that could be massive for this organization to give them at least a base offensively. They could bring back the majority of their back end. Cautiously, I'm optimistic about next season for this team. However, it also determines or comes down to which players return to the organization for the 2024-25 season.
How closely are you going to be watching the remainder of the playoffs here?
Well, I'm definitely going to be plugged in and see how the rest of the AJHL unfolds. Look, it's been a whole lot of fun being part of this league. I'm absolutely thrilled to be back in my home province. It's been as crazy as the season as it has been, it's been a lot of fun. The parity in this league is going to be insane. Keep in mind, this will be the first time in, I believe, 12 years, a team not named the Brooks Bandits or the Spruce Grove Saints are going to win the AJHL championship. So I'm excited to see which one of those teams comes out in front. Yeah, I'm going to be plugged in, definitely watching in, and who knows, maybe there's a couple of broadcasters in the league here who need a guest color commentator. Maybe I'll still hop onto the radio with a couple guys in that sense, too.
Back to the Barons now. Nicholas Hugendorn gets a U Sports scholarship. That's going to be good to see from what could be characterized as a rough season. Again, the sports scholarship, that's got to be good to see.
It's always good to see players being able to move on and to further along, not just their hockey skills, but also their education. And Nick is one of those guys. He's a heart and soul type of player, a bit of a rougher season, 18 points in 49 games, 137 penalty minutes, which was fifth in the AJHL. But he wanted to move on to the next level and to get that ride with Dalhousie University out in Nova Scotia. Good on him. I get the feeling there's going to be a couple more announcements like that in the next month here for some other players. But no, it was great to see Nick gain a commitment. All that does is shine a light on the Oil Barons as an organization. And hopefully it also helps open the doors for more players to gain scholarships down the road, such as like a Vincent Lamanna or maybe even a Carter Schmidt and a Simon Gall.
What are some things that the Fort McMurray Oil Barons have planned over the summer for in terms of events?
Well, the biggest one will be the golf tournament, and I wish I had more information in front of me on that one, but that will be the biggest event coming up here. It's their third annual golf tournament. I believe it's in June, but fans can keep their eyes out for on our social media accounts to see when there's more information released on that. I know they'll also be looking for sponsors for that event. Something I got to be a part of is really the very first event, the Welcome to Fort McMurray moment for myself last year, and it was a whole lot of fun to be part of that. So that's really the big event for the Oil Barons this offseason.
And I guess now, Matt, we just have Giants baseball to look forward to now, don't we?
Yeah, summertime, which means the Fort McMurray Giants, they'll be kicking off their season. I believe May 24th is when the regular season starts for that. So that's something I'm definitely looking forward to over the off season here. I believe I'll be involved in some way, shape, or form. I'm just not 100% sure exactly which way I'll be involved with that. But it'll be fun to be down at the ballpark, get to take in some Western Canadian Baseball League action, and enjoy the summer as well.
And hopefully my Regina Red Sox give you guys a tough time. Matt Decker, anything else you want to add on the Barons season?
I mean, the biggest thing I can say is really thank you to everyone from the hiring committee that brought me in back in May to the players on this team for always being open with interviews and welcoming in with open arms, their parents and all the fans. Without all their support throughout the entire year, tuning in and game out, it wouldn't be possible to have these broadcasts. So, no, a huge thank you to everyone, sponsors, for making hockey in Northern Alberta possible. Just thank you to everyone. It's been a very interesting year, a roller coaster year, lots of highs, lots of lows, some very challenging moments, but it means a lot to have everybody's support. I'm very thankful for all of those who are involved in the 2023-24 season.
Matt Decker, the play-by-play guy for the Fort McMurray Oil Barons, thank you so much for your time here today.
Thank you for having me, Ryan. I know we had a few conversations throughout this year, which have been on a variety of different topics. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and we'll definitely stay in touch, sir.
We'll be back with more next on Fort McMurray Matters after the break.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
And we're back on Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Joining us on the phone here today is Staff Sergeant Sabrina Clayton from the Wood Buffalo RCMP. Staff Sergeant, how are you doing here today?
I'm great, Ryan. How are you?
Doing well. Recently released a news release on senior resident scams. What are some things to keep in mind with those senior resident scams?
One of the big things we do focus on during the month of March is fraud and scams. And unfortunately, we do see a regular amount of our community members fall victim, including some of our vulnerable people, our seniors and grandparents. Fraudsters target seniors by calling and pretending to be a family member, possibly in distress, advising them that they've been arrested, may be held in trouble, and they need money immediately. Victims are told that there's a gag order from the courts and they're not allowed to speak to anyone around about this situation, and they are given instructions as to how to withdraw money from a bank and wait for a courier or to send the money via a courier to another location.
So how do the fraudsters typically attack their victims? Is this almost exclusively over the phone, or is it a little bit of email too?
Oftentimes, most of the time, actually, we do see it takes place over the phone, especially with advances in technology of AI and whatnot, and voice-changing technology. We do see this over the phone predominantly, but that doesn't mean people won't receive scam information requests via email. Some tips from the Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre to help protect yourself from emergency and grandparent scams are: remember that the courts will never ask for cash to bail somebody out in custody. They always require you to show up and be present at the court or at the police station to pay those fines. Be suspicious of calls that require immediate action. If you're in doubt, hang up and call the local police and contact that family member yourself directly. Don't assume that person on the other end of the phone is actually your family member. Never ever send cash, cryptocurrencies, gift cards, or any other funds to unknown persons unless you've verified who that is you're sending it to.
Are there any other red flags to look for when it comes to these scams?
A big one there is know your family members and know if that information they're telling you sounds too good to be true. Oftentimes it is. And a lot of the time, unfortunately, our vulnerable population don't report this to police because they feel so embarrassed and guilty for falling victim. We do, unfortunately, need them to report it to police, even if it's happened or if it's attempted to have been happened. They can contact the Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre for help.
Is this something we're seeing becoming more common in Fort McMurray and area?
We've seen frauds of this nature go on for a large number of years, more than 30 years, and the fraudsters just keep getting more inventive in ways to defraud people of their hard-earned money. Again, if in doubt, don't share information, don't share personal information, don't give out any money or such, and contact your police for assistance.
Are there any particular challenges or barriers law enforcement faces in investigating and even prosecuting those responsible for these scams?
A lot of times these scams we're seeing are coming from out of country, so that makes it very difficult for police to investigate it. It's not happening necessarily locally in your community. It's happening due to our worldwide capabilities of internet and communications. So we do see challenges with respect to being able to track potentially where money has gone. Biggest one would be use of the money transfers. It's very difficult sometimes to track where that money ended up, especially using MoneyGrams or Western Union. We may not be able to ever find out that information as to where that money got picked up.
And then getting that money back too, I imagine, is next to impossible.
It can be in some cases. Most of the time, if the victim contacts their bank and can provide some information, there's a potential that they can stop any transfer or potentially recover some of that money. But a lot of victims, unfortunately, do lose their hard-earned money through scam.
Are there some other things to keep in mind to protect yourself from these scams?
Again, know your family. If you have concerns about who you're talking to, call up and then call them back at the phone number that you know to belong to them. That is probably one of the biggest steps to protecting yourself, is absolutely know who you're speaking to.
Switching gears here, Sabrina, you recently ran a survey with RMWB on local crime enforcement. You know, when could we see those results?
We expect to see those results released to the public over the next couple of weeks. We're working with our RMWB partners to evaluate the responses that we received with the survey, and as well as input them into our priorities for this coming year. So you will see an update on that and media release as to what our future 2024-2025 policing priorities will be for Wood Buffalo.
And how does a survey like this help the RCMP?
Well, we depend on our community to provide input and provide direction to us as to what they would like to see their police focus on and focus their efforts on. And in this case, we're the police of jurisdiction here in the RCMP. We heavily rely on that community information. We, of course, always rely on statistics to see where crime trends are going, our crime severity index as well. But we mostly depend on our community to tell us what they would like of their police and how they would like us to focus our efforts.
Staff Sergeant Sabrina Clayton from the Wood Buffalo RCMP. Anything else you'd like to add here today?
I think that's it. Thank you, Ryan.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for your time here today.
You take care.
That was our show for today. A big thanks to my guests for joining the show. We have another busy one planned for you tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. Thank you for joining us on Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Ryan McNally. Have a good day.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this or any past episodes? Download the podcast at play1037.ca. Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.